You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you here on a Thursday. Hope you're safe if you're in Alabama, where unfortunately tornadoes are all over the place in the central part of the state. And we say hello to you, and there's a lot going on today, and we will get to your phone calls, a number of we think pretty good, pretty great guests. So let's start with some headlines since we were here last. And Texas A&M's Jordan Nixon sends Aggies to the Sweet 16 with a buzzer beater.
Jordan Nixon, time winding down, the Sweet 16 belongs to the Aggies. For the third time, Jordan Nixon has a buzzer beater to propel Texas A&M to victory.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. A&M was in big trouble. They were down in the second half, and it looked hopeless, but doesn't matter now. They will move on Saturday night to take on Arizona in the Sweet 16. 10 years ago, Gary Blair's team won their national championship. Arkansas plays Saturday night against ORU. The women of South Carolina on Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night, of course, Alabama and UCLA. Meanwhile, they're... it's rather bizarre news in Tuscaloosa. When we came on the air yesterday, we gave you the news that Jay Graham, barely on the staff for 2 months, was stepping down. He explained it in a, well, he tried to explain it in a Twitter post. Meanwhile, Nick Saban with his view of the situation.
Jay made a decision to do what he did, and we're going to support him every way that we can. And we certainly wish him and his family the very best for what they do. Obviously, our plan is to improvise and adjust. I think we have other people that can help us coach special teams. Todd Watson, you know, who was an assistant intern doing special teams. We just activated him to, you know, do it for now. And we'll start a search and see if we can find the best coach. And, you know, there's no timetable for doing that.
Meanwhile, Texas Longhorns have put a pause on spring football practice because of COVID. Seems like we ended the season with this story, and it's back again. But this is only spring ball right now, and one can only hope this situation abates before the regular season. Meanwhile, he's in the news every single day, and usually for all the wrong reasons. I know that sounds like a country song from the 80s. Looking for bad news in all the wrong places, Mark Emmert. $3.5 billion mistake. According to Pete Thamel, he made the worst TV decision in the history of TV decisions by signing on with a long-term deal with the NCAA tournament. Had he taken it to market, no telling where that number would be today. What are we going to talk about here? Oh, by the way, before we get to that, this just came in. The NCAA has hired a law firm. Meanwhile, student-athletes suffer. The lawyers make money. They've hired a law firm for a gender equity review after men's and women's disparities. So the NCAA can't get it right. Their own incompetence brings them to the knees. So what do? They go hire a law firm to tell them what they want to hear. Let's talk about what we are going to do here today on the program. And we look forward to talking to you as well as listening to Jim Donnan joining us in a couple of minutes, College Football Hall of Famer. Another future Hall of Famer, Jimbo Fisher, will join us in about 40 minutes. He is the A&M coach. Bruce Feldman did a list similar to Stuart Mandel. They both work for The Athletic on who the best coaches in college football are. Later in the program, author Pete Stoddard, he wrote about Louis Grizzard years ago. And Pete Thamel, as we mentioned, he will join us with his take on not only the NCAA situation, but the NCAA basketball tournament as well. He has been covering it. Let's get to the calls. 855-242-7285. We begin right now with Mac in Baltimore. Hey, Mac, thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I just wanted to call in today because I called in on Monday and we spoke about kind of Mike White, and you posed me the question with if he was the football coach and he had this resume, what would the program have treated him? And I was thinking about that, and I didn't know who to compare him to, but I was thinking about the McElwain years when he made back-to-back SEC championship games and then had, you know, an iffy first half to the start of the season. Obviously, there were other issues going around, stuff like Will Greer taking PEDs, a lot of off-the-field issues. But McElwain got fired after two straight East championships.
Yeah, but Mac, let me Mac, hold on a second. If we're going to compare apples to apples, you can't use Jim McElwain as an because Jim McElwain really he got fired in the middle of the season. It had nothing to do with his record. It had everything to do with his inability to communicate with his superiors.
Okay, so what do you think is a better example then? Because I don't know who, I mean, Dan Mullen, like he's.
Well, no, I mean you're looking for, you're trying to find something that doesn't exist. Mike White is a good basketball coach. My question to you was simply this: if Dan Mullen had the same resume as Mike White, would he survive?
I think. No, especially after following, you know, a legendary coach like Billy Donovan. I mean, Ron Zook had a bad resume, but it's tough to follow a legend. You know, Muschamp had a terrible, didn't have a great resume. Tough to follow a legend. I just think that, you know, it's an in-between phase, and Mike White isn't the answer to the future. You know, people that follow great coaches aren't the answer. You know, Tubby Smith didn't do great at Kentucky. He just won because it was Pitino's guys.
Yeah, but Mac, I would agree. Tubby Smith was not a great coach, but when you win a national championship in your first year, it is going to buy you a lot of time.
And it does, and I agree with that. But I feel like that so many times we take the outcome and we use that to decide what we want. You know, I was in the boat that even if Mike White made the Final Four this year, I still don't want him back next year. I still think he will be.
Well,
back
Mac, see, the problem with you, and I don't mean this personally, is you've already made up your mind.
I'm taking it.
You can't. I always try to tell people, not that I know any more than you do, but I have covered a lot of sports. When you're making it, you cannot make decisions as yourself. You have to put yourself, if you can do this without violating some scientific code, into the body and mind of Scott Strickland. And you have to sit there as the athletic director at Florida and look at the big picture and look at what this program is doing. And if you're going to fire him, you're simply going to fire him entirely on the fact that he can't advance in the NCAA tournament. Now, by the way, that's a legitimate excuse.
That's not why I want to fire him.
Well, but you can't just go. Why do you want to fire him, Mac?
Because because of his inability to be a leader of young men.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not here as anything other. I don't know how you can say that. I think Mike White is a leader. I think he's a beacon of respect and dignity. He just may not be a great basketball coach. That's what we have to chisel this down to. He is a good basketball coach. But is he an elite basketball coach? Is he capable of leading this Florida program to championships? That's really the question you have. He runs a clean program. We don't need to discuss that. Can he do more?
He runs a clean program in that no one's getting arrested. But, I mean, I've heard stories that if you go into a downtown club at games.
Hey, Mike, unless you have any kind of corroborating evidence, don't give me this BS, okay?
Don't give me something
you heard.
I didn't hear it. I saw it.
And what did you? What specifically did you see?
I saw four basketball players on the varsity team from last year in the bathroom of Simons.
Hold on. Were they on the current team or the team last year?
I mean, they were on both teams. They had not graduated or transferred.
And they were, I don't want you to tell me what you were about to do because I don't know what your condition was at the time you saw it.
That is true. You don't know.
Yeah, and if you're going to start throwing dirt around, I want to know whether you were under the influence, whether you were on drugs, because what you think you may have seen, you may not have seen. Mac, I appreciate the call. Very entertaining, not very informative though. We will take a break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Thursday afternoon. One of my favorite people in the world is our next guest, the former head coach at the University of Georgia Hall of Fame coach, Coach Jim Donnan, to give us the latest on the fall here in the spring. Coach, first of all, great to have you back, and I hope you're well. Good afternoon.
Hey, it's good to be back, Paul. Been a long time, but certainly excited about having a full spring practice finally for all these teams, see how they can be for next year.
Yeah, we have Coach Jimbo Fisher on in a few minutes, and we talked to Kiffin and Drinkwitz the other day, and they were all saying the same thing, and you laid it out beautifully. Last year is gone. It's difficult getting ready for a season without spring, but that has all changed. So let me start with spring and the expectations of the Dogs, but unfortunately losing George Pickens, I'm not sure exactly what the outlook is. You live down there, maybe you know, but talk about what the Dogs look like in the spring and the Pickens injury, what it could mean for the fall.
Just a terrible blow for George, first of all. What a great kid. He's worked so hard, and everybody starts worrying about their team and everything like that. But as a coach, your first concern is the welfare of your player, and George will have the best of care and certainly will rehab and come back strong. But it's, from what I understand, an ACL injury, which, you know, requires 8 to 10 months before you can get back in the full swing. So, but for Georgia, you know, the fact is they got a lot of good players. They're not a one-man team. But just to give you an example of George last year, over his career, he's caught 85 passes, Paul, for 14 touchdowns. 75 of those have either been for a first down or a touchdown. So he's just a big play guy that's hard to replace. But you saw it last year with Alabama, Waddle going down. Somebody's got to step up. And the fact that they've got the rest of the spring, almost two-thirds of the spring to go, and, you know, I think that they'll be able to replace him and get a very good player in there for him.
Yeah, he was a difference maker, though. Let's talk about, and it's hard to talk about them right now without him, but as a coach, you have to move on as much as it hates you hate to do it. They start off with Clemson. We know the rest of the schedule. Florida's always critical. You've been there. You understand it. Do you buy in, Coach, to what many of the experts are saying, that this looks like a legitimate, maybe not national championship team, but Final Four team at least?
Yeah, well, it's hard to pick that at this point. And I'm sure you'll talk to Jimbo here right after me, and his team finished fifth last year, and he's got a lot of elements back. But the one thing that we do have here at Georgia, that we don't have the uncertainty at quarterback going into the season, with JT Daniels having the four games under his belt and a pretty solid offensive line and some really good running backs. A tremendous kicking game led by Jake Camarda and Podlinski. I can't ever say his name. I just call him Pod. But You know, he's a great kicker. He kicked that field goal at the end of the Cincinnati game. So I think that on offense, it's going to be pretty well set. Defensively, you watched the Pro Day last week, which your SEC network did a great job of bringing it into the home so all of us could see it. But, you know, we got five defensive backs going to the in the draft, so that's going to be a real element that's going to be hard to replace, particularly going in that first game. But as you've talked about on your show over the years, Kirby's recruited at a breakneck pace, and he's got some good young players coming up, and I think the secondary will be okay, but it's going to be tested very quickly against that Clemson Tiger offense.
No doubt. Well, Coach, let me ask you about Florida. And by the way, we had Mark Stoops on yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on them as well. But let's go to Florida next. They lose a lot. They still have a lot, but losing Trask, losing Pitts, and you can just go right down the list. That's some epic players right there.
Well, you know, it's a real paradox with Florida. Two of the last 3 years, they finished breakneck speed and, you know, had a tremendous year. Last year, they beat Georgia, and then all of a sudden, things kind of went south for them at the end of the season and had those downer games. You know, they certainly played good against Alabama, but got smoked by Oklahoma, and they got upset by LSU. So they're going into the season with 8-4 instead of double digit like they have. I do think they've recruited a little bit better year in and year out since he's been there, and they're always going to be tough on offense with Coach Mullins calling the shots. I like Emory Jones, a quarterback. I think they got a lot of playmakers, but certainly their schedule is a little bit more difficult playing Alabama as a crossover game. That's going to be a real tough one for them. But I think Kentucky, you know, Coach Stoops has made a change on offense with a new staff. Got some good players. They've recruited well. Drinkwitz, you mentioned him. I think probably did as good a job as anybody last year in his first year. So the rest of those teams in the East are just kind of chasing everybody else. So
let me flip it over because, you know, we know Alabama starts off as the favorite. A&M, you know, losing Kellen Mond still figures to be a factor. A lot of confusion about what LSU looks like. Ed Orgeron clearly admitting some mistakes were made on the staff. He admitted yesterday he didn't interview some of the people, whatever. I don't know if you've ever done anything like that before, but I am curious what you think of the Tigers.
Well, you know, I'm high on Max Johnson. His dad, Brad, lives here in town, and I saw the kid grow up playing quarterback, and he's certainly going to be a guy in the mix for that quarterback job. But I think the big thing for them is just getting their defense rallied around where they can not just try to outscore everybody, Paul. I mean, you're not going to win consistently in this league just hoping you're going to outscore people. And, you know, they certainly did a good job of that, you know, in 2019. But their defense really improved at the end of the year. But I think it's really up in the air about them. New staff, almost completely new staff, a lot of new players on their receiving core. They lost a really good guy to transfer in Gilbert. So up in the air there. I think everybody else in the East, though, I mean, excuse me, in the West, is really looking at Texas A&M has started to fortify those recruits and build that program just like Jimbo did Florida State. I think you got Alabama and then Texas A&M close, but not ready to beat Alabama. Maybe they will, but Alabama looks stronger than Ajax to me right now.
Coach, you mentioned the staff, and you know Nick Saban can get away with it for a lot of reasons, but you've been there many, many times. When you start to see turnover, big turnover in your staff, what happens internally?
Well, you can look at it two ways. When you're in a winning program, it's usually pretty good because that means those guys are getting head jobs or coordinator jobs. In programs that are having trouble and losing, you know, people have a tendency to try to look for a job and get out before they get fired. So I think it's a little bit of both. But in the case of Alabama, it's certainly been a proven factor that you got the head man there and he knows how to attract good coaches. He gets these good analysts to help resurrect their careers. And really this year, he just unbelievable getting Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone. Doug coached for me here, an outstanding offensive line coach. To get those two guys to come from the pros, two head coaches to come down there, I mean, that was a brilliant move by him. And certainly didn't hurt him, but Jimmy Sexton was helping too.
Yeah, I would think Jimmy Sexton could lead the Boston Pops this summer as well as he's been orchestrating moves in the SEC. Auburn has a new coach. You know what it's like to go to an SEC school from outside, but outside coming from Oklahoma, maybe a little different than Boise State. What's he face?
Yeah, I've always been impressed with Brian Harsin. I watched him grow as an assistant coach and move down there to Texas. I know Mac Brown, who played for me and I've stayed close with, was very high on him when he was his coordinator, and he did a good job. You know, he goes in there and takes over for a legend there with Peterson being the coach at Boise, and did a really good job. Didn't maybe win as much on a national scale, but continued to dominate that Western Conference. So I think it's certainly going to be a big jump for him. There's no question about it, and particularly in recruiting, because it's just a different, as you know, Paul, week in and week out, it's just different around here than it is in every area of the country. These kids get recruited 24/7. And now with Zoom and all that, these other coaches around the country are doing it more than they did. But I think staff-wise, it's going to be a big, big deal for him. The guys from Boise, how much they can adjust to this league. He made a big lick there getting Mike Bobo. I think Mike will help him. School's still out on their defense. You know, they lost a really good defensive coach in Steele, and they brought in Coach Mason, who, you know, has a background in defense, although he hasn't been very successful with it in the SEC. But, you know, he was coaching at Vanderbilt where they're out, man. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they can catch up. You know, they lost four games last year, and they got a tough, tough game against Penn State on the road, early in the year. You know, most people there would be happy with 8-4 with Harsin, but, you know, with the other guy, they didn't like it. So we'll see what happens. It won't be 8-4 long, though. He better get it going.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be an 8-4 coach too long at Auburn. We know that. Coach, before you go, Tennessee. Josh Heupel is there, staff, a lot of staff from UCF. Recruiting was okay, but they may lead the country in the transfer portal. What do you make out of the Vols?
Yeah, you know, I knew Josh when he was at Oklahoma, played quarterback out there for Stoops and did a good job coaching. And he went to Missouri and really kind of lit it up there, did a great job coaching their offense, and then took over a very good program at UCF. It kind of went downhill a little bit this year with their defense, but he's going to certainly bring a lot of knowledge to the SEC, having coached at Missouri, and he's a quarterback-type maestro that'll help them, give them some offense going. But their cupboard's a little bare. As you mentioned, the portal has hurt them, and I think it's going to take a little while. But I would say that Tennessee will make a quicker move maybe than South Carolina, because South Carolina just – doesn't have as many players right now, but it'll be interesting to see how Beamer does there. He'll work hard at it, and he's got a good staff. But interesting, SEC East, all of a sudden, you know, what Stoops and Kirby are the two longest tenured coaches in the SEC East, right?
That is right. I was talking to Stoops yesterday, and I think he's number two behind Saban. You've been there before, but the turnover – it's starting to be ridiculous. Coach, it's so great to have you on. Be well. We will hopefully be able to talk to you very soon.
All right, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff. Jim Donnan, always a pleasure to have him. We will take a break. Jimbo Fisher joining us in a couple of minutes. We hope you will stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Jimbo Fisher joining us shortly, the head coach at Texas A&M. We've had a number of SEC coaches on recently. Stoops yesterday, Eli Drinkwitz, and so many others, including Coach Kiffin. We had a few last week, and we will continue to sprinkle them in as practice begins all over. Jim is up next in Alabama. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I know you got a huge listening audience out there in Birmingham, and you mentioned it at the opening about the tornadoes today. Radar showed one down in Trustville just a little bit ago. So just everybody listen, watch your radios, listen to what's going on, watch your emergency beacons and stuff like that. It's going to be probably, it's been a pretty bad day already for a lot of people.
Yeah, Jim, I've been watching it pretty closely. Where we used to live, the tornado literally ripped right through there. So you naturally have so many friends that you care about. And it's still early, and it's not over yet either. There's apparently a long line.
No, it's not. There's going to be warning.
But it has been
after 8 p.m. tonight.
It's already been a very vicious and dangerous day, and I know a lot of folks there have been a part of this program a long time, and I would urge you to keep your eyes and ears on the weather, to say the least.
Thank you very much for
thank
that,
you.
Paul.
Yeah.
I appreciate you bringing that to the attention of everybody.
Okay, a good deal, Jim. Yeah, thank you. There's some tornado warnings in East Alabama right now, so be as aware as you can possibly be. You better be. Let's get back to the calls. And Lee is in Seattle. Lee, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey Paul. You were certainly castigated yesterday over a few issues. One thing I wanted to tell you that you were very correct on is, from personal experience, Nicole Kidman is simply not a pleasant person, period.
Well, you know, Lee, when you're at a function where there are multiple personalities that you're aware of them, you see them come by, and some are really downright charming. And I always wondered about that, and then I realized they're especially actors and actresses. I mean, that's what they do. She could have frozen I could have been in a freezer colder than Ted Williams right now after running into her.
She is a freezer colder than Ted Williams.
I can assure you, I'm not interested in an encore with Nicole Kidman. I know that didn't sound right, but that's just the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I'm sure having a root canal is probably a little bit more pleasant than that, or she, because
I was thinking more of a colonoscopy, but that's okay.
Yeah. If there's anything not to take personal, that would be it, because she is just, there's not much else to say about that.
For some reason, sometimes, Lee, you're fearful that maybe, Keith Urban and Nicole are driving to the park right now with their kids listening. I doubt that there's any chance of that.
Keith might be, and I have always wondered, because I've not met him. He seems like a very nice guy, and that is a head scratcher from day one for me.
Lee, I will tell you this, and my experience in Hollywood is a cup of coffee, the town does things to people that are only explainable on the big screen.
Okay.
It is not a real existence, is what I'm trying to say. It's
not
fantasy.
A real existence.
No, it's not like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, just real quickly on that. Did you happen to read the Washington Post article on the cluster of Mark Emmert or Emmerit or however?
Yeah, officially it's Emmert. It's very difficult to say Emmert without going Emmert. And by the way, I don't care whether I pronounce his name correctly. He's still an absolute disgrace.
Well, newsflash, most people don't care on how it gets pronounced, but
I did read it. Yes,
did. But Well, I mean, I was unfamiliar. I think some of your headlines today, you're going to get into it a little bit more. But how he is going to keep his job after the blatancy, I mean, I guess they didn't even have the NCAA logo or March Madness on the floor.
No.
I mean, he just...
Well, Lee, I hate to run because we have a guest waiting, but he did hire a law firm to investigate, though. We will take a break. Jimbo Fisher will join us in a couple of minutes, and we look forward to that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, we're back, and we should be going to Coach Jimbo Fisher in just a moment or two. Let's go to Pam first in Memphis. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
It's an honor. Hotty toddy. And I'd like to know why the NCAA punished Ole Miss so much a few years ago for such infractions that LSU has done so much worse. And I think they're bulletproof. I don't understand why. We fired our coach. We had scholarships taken away. We had a bowl game taken away. And I don't know if anything's going to happen to LSU. What do you think?
Yeah, Pam, I have to agree. I thought the Ole Miss penalties were a little over the top. Just if I remember correctly, and maybe I don't, but I thought Hugh Freeze was fired after – maybe he wasn't fired after the penalties came down. But I don't think he was – fired specifically because of the penalties. However, it was a long case. It seemed to me and to anyone in Oxford and anywhere else that the NCAA was determined to get Ole Miss. They had closed one case already, and then something else popped out. It was the on the NFL draft night, if you remember. And then they went right back in there again and still didn't come up with very much. You're 100% correct about that. I don't know what's going on at Ole Miss, at LSU.
Yeah. I just think it's just so not balanced, you know. They came after us, but they're not going to go after them for some reason. And it's just I don't know what the NCAA does, you know.
Well, Pam, the answer to that is the NCAA does whatever it feels like doing. They have very little power, very little power. But when they get a case like Ole Miss, they abuse their own bylaws. And, you know, they had closed the book on Ole Miss, and they went back there on a publicized situation, which I don't think they could ever really stick. I promise you, I don't remember all the details of it, although it seemed like it lasted most of my life. And it was very costly.
Yes, it was. Yeah. But we're back. But I just wanted to know, because it truly is a puzzle to me. You know, it's all been handled the way it's been handled.
It's a good question. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. We are going to talk to Bruce Feldman in a couple of minutes. We are struggling here with some technical issues getting Coach Fisher. I just looked at the monitor, and he was right there. But the issue is he can't hear us. And I will assure you, I conduct a lot of phone calls some days when I wonder if the person on the other end of the line can hear me, and I don't really want to do that to Coach Fisher. So we will get him on here as soon as we can figure out the connection issues. Frank is in Salt Lake City. Hello, Frank.
Paul, greetings from the state of Utah. Believe it or not, we love you here.
Thank you very much.
I know you probably heard different. But
I have, yes.
We do. And I totally appreciate the three down hours of my day, all Paul, all the time. So
thank you so much.
Thanks for being there. So this is interesting. It really perked me up when you were talking about the NCAA hiring lawyers for this look into the inequities of the women's tournament, I think that is. As a Lady Vols fan, now, I mean, I'm a basketball fan. All the Utah teams are out. All my Tennessee teams are out. The BYU women are out. But I like the women's tournament. It's not something I rush to at the beginning of the day, but when the Lady Vols are in, I see it. ESPN.
Hey, Frank. Hold on a second. I hate to do this. I'm going to put you back on hold because I apologize because we're having a great call there, but we have been trying to get Coach Fisher on camera, and I'll go back to you in a minute, Frank. But I think we now are going to switch over to the phone because we just simply can't get him on. So, guys, are we ready to go? Okay, good deal. Coach, sorry for the problems. We're really glad to have you, though. I saw you, and you look great, but we'll have to do with just me on camera and you on the phone. It's good to have you on, so tell us how things have gone so far.
Been good. All season's been well. Kids have worked hard. Leadership of the group, and, you know, a whole new group. Got to find, 13 new guys come in, so incorporating them into the organization. And I've been pleased with camp and our conditioning drills and our meetings and things have been very well.
I know things are certainly better than they were a year ago, and I know it's looking back, not forward. But how much did you miss by not being able to have this valuable time?
Well, I mean, anytime you don't have time, there's no way to make it up. You just got to take the best of what you can, and I think that's what our players have been able to do. And what we've been able to do as an organization is maximize the amount of time we do have and try to make the best of it. And I think that's a tribute to our coaches, the organization, and our players to be able to do that.
You're coming off a top four appearance. You are getting a new quarterback in, so that's the question I get from fans. So I'll turn you into the person on the spot here. Can you give your fans a report on where you are right now and where you see this going?
Well, I mean, I like our quarterbacks. I mean, I think we got three outstanding young men. I think Haynes King I think I'm extremely high on. I think he has a great upside, tremendous knowledge of what we're doing offensively. Zach Calzada, tremendous amount of ability, can throw it, can do all the things he has to do, really has a good understanding. And Eli Stowers has come in as a freshman and has picked it up as quick as anybody. He and Haynes, it's amazing for young guys how quick they picked our offense up. So I'm very high on these guys. It's just a matter of how they relate and how the guys around them relate, because that's part of playing quarterback that we all underestimate. As we talk about, does he throw it? Does he run? Can he make? All right, but how do the 11 guys on the field at that time interact with him, and how does the defense feel toward him? I think these guys' charisma and work ethic too and personalities have really translated in our team and have been really good leaders in the offseason. So I'm very excited about it, and they definitely have the talent. We just got to get them doing the right things consistently.
We had Terry Bowden on here a couple weeks ago, and I meant to tell you this the last time I talked to you, but he said you were the best quarterback he's ever had. And by the way, I bring that up because you're talking about quarterbacks today in 2021. And I'm as a former quarterback, I'm really interested in how different it was back then, because I don't think you had the advantage of all these camps and tutors and gurus that these young guys did.
No, you didn't. The technical parts of the game are much more advanced now because of the learning and just the video. I mean, think back when you used to have 16-millimeter film, you couldn't watch practice video. Then when VHS came in, it was so happy because you could come off the field and see what you did and learn from that. That was a big deal back in the mid-'80s, late-'80s. That was a big deal. So I think the advancement of players is only going to get better because of the technology. But there's one thing it never does. When you're playing quarterback, leadership parts of it, the toughness parts of it, the competitive parts of it, and the ability to play big situations in a game, zones, two-minute drives, all where you're behind and how you perform, those intangibles are never going to change. I mean, like I say, the Roger Staubachs of the world and the Terry Bradshaws of the world and the Kenny Stablers of the world, I mean, they would all excel just as much or more so today. We kind of pass them up saying, well, look at the numbers. It's still at the end of the day, you got to play the game. The technical parts of it has gotten better, the knowledge because of video and learning. But, the tangibles to be a great quarterback have never changed, whether it was in 1970 or it's now.
Well, we had a good time reminiscing on your career, which I do remember.
Jerry was a heck of a coach now. He did a heck of a job. Now, we had some great times. I'll say this. That's one of the really fortunate things I had as a young player, to be exposed to the Bowden family. Terry was a great coach. Jeff was one of my coaches on that staff. I've coached with Tommy. And then, of course, being around Bobby, I was allowed to be there in the off season, and a lot of those things. A lot of the things I think about today and how I do things came from that. And I was very fortunate to be around that family.
Next time you're back, we'll show the video and compare it to your current quarterbacks. Coach, I apologize for our technical issues. We'll try to get you back whenever time is available, and we really appreciate you always coming on.
No, Paul, great to be with you anytime, buddy.
You got it. Jimbo Fisher joining us from College Station. Apologize for the issues that kept us from talking to him longer. But we will make it up very soon. We will take a break here. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bruce Feldman joining us next, and we'll get back to your calls. Bruce Feldman has also done a list of the top quarterbacks, and Jimbo Fisher is in the top 10 and looking quite good. So we'll talk about that with Coach. We'll talk about Coach with Bruce when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.